With savings over $390 this shopping season, Vrbo helps you swap gift wrap time for quality time with those you love most. From snow on the roof to sand between your toes, we have all the vacation rental options covered. Go to Vrbo now and book a last-minute week-long stay. Save over $390 this holiday season and book your next vacation rental home on Vrbo. Average savings $396. Select homes only.
Thinking about trying a GLP-1 medication but worried about side effects? Start small with the Noom GLP-1 microdose program. It starts at $99 and is delivered to your door in 7 days. Start your microdose GLP-1 journey today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. Noom. Micro changes. Big results.
Noom microdose GLP-1 RX program includes GLP-1 specific dietary and wellness education, regular user reporting, and personalized lower dosages through SmartDose. Lower doses of GLP-1 resulted in lower chances of observable side effects based on a sample of 9,528 microdose GLP-1 RX program users.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome into the Winklerverse. How about a little I'm Bart Winkler. Grant Bills, full mouth of food today. What's on the menu? It looked good.
Oh, Mutskis.
Just carrot sticks. That's all.
Carrot sticks.
Grant did the awkward Kevin Burkhardt look to the camera.
And hummus.
TB, what are you thinking down there, TB? Paul Immig as well, all live and visible on the Dan Shaney YouTube stream. If that's how you choose to ingest this content, we are, I guess I could say now, but I'll have a graphic next week. Are brought to you by Carl's Place. So our longtime friend, Carl, over at Carl's Place with their golf simulators and accessories. They are bringing you
a good buddy, some might even say.
One of the goodest of buddies. One of the gooder of buddies. All right. I don't know if you guys heard, I got fired. Paul, you said you have topics.
I have lots. How many can we get to?
Let's see. Let's go. A little lightning round. A belated Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to you both.
And
you and yours. Thank you.
And to everybody else out there. And programming announcement. Sunday's Packer Live show will be not after the Packer game. I'm not getting on the YouTube to talk about this fucking game. Yeah. I will get on after we know what the NFC seedings look like.
Yes.
And we can talk through the playoffs.
Yes.
So I'll do a live around 6:15 on Sunday. I am not jumping on what is, without question, the worst possible window of football all season. The first window in Week 18 where none of the games matter.
You're saying from noon to 6 Central?
No, just the first block.
Noon to 3.
Yeah, in the afternoon window, there's some games that, although there's the intrigue, are the Falcons potentially going to screw over Tampa? Although, can you screw over Tampa when you've lost? How many have they lost in a row? Like 100?
7 of 8, right?
The hell got into them?
Their head coach got into them.
Are we starting Clayton Tune?
Mm-hmm. Right. I think so.
All right. Well, what do you got?
I'm actually legit bummed for him that Bo Melton had a pass go through his hands. And like now if you look at Clayton Tune's NFL statistics, it's like, oh, for one interception. It's like, that sucks. That's not fair. He does not deserve that.
Well, there's other teams he could have signed with. I mean, that's kind of like you look around your building and you ask other employees and like, so how is it like working here? Well, we don't know what Bo Melton is, wide receiver or cornerback. So we kind of make him do both and he's not good at either. And be like, all right, I'll drive down the street and give them my resume.
But did you not, sir, did you not just draft a wide receiver in the first round? So presumably you wouldn't have to play Bo Melton at wide receiver. I thought you told me you did that.
Oh, I got a quit your bitching on a reel that Horvat and I did about Matthew Golden 7 weeks ago. Facebook is where it's at, man. Facebook, they keep you in population. YouTube's like, hey, your reel lives for 45 minutes. Get the fuck out of here. And Facebook is like, oh, there's people coming on Facebook to talk about Matthew Golden. Well, where's that Matthew Golden reel those guys did? And they put it back in.
Nice.
Awesome. Facebook. Zuck. I knew that bastard would come in handy someday. You know, one time I went to a bar with some of my buddies. And
You did that?
Yeah. And the guy, he posted on his Facebook comment the name of the bartender because he clearly went to Facebook to look at pictures of her.
Oh.
After he got home. It's a funny story if you know the characters.
Was this a Packer road trip?
No.
No. Okay.
Was it in lacrosse?
No.
All right.
Grant, you do sound different than usual, by the way. Your voice, your microphone or whatever.
Better or worse? Is something wrong?
Different.
A little tinny, maybe. Maybe your mic input is a little different.
Check, 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 check. I'll fuck around with this. You go ahead, Paul. I'll futz around.
Tim. That was the 455 to 508 mark, Tim. All right. I have not consumed Bart, sometimes purposefully, because I like to not know all of your opinions. I like to not know Grant's opinions on some things. Sometimes it happens just because I'm going
to. Well, and I don't have a show for you to consume nationally.
I didn't even listen yet to your podcast.
Okay.
Though I did get pictures from a friend of his dad watching you on his dad's TV after the game. He's like a zoomed out where he could see you on the TV and then his dad on the couch watching you on YouTube. So that's the most that I consumed of it. So I say this, I say some of this not knowing exactly how you guys might feel about these things and some of the discourse that's happened because of the holidays and me finally maybe not being horrendously sick. It was.
Yeah, wow. There's new COVID. People aren't talking about it.
We are officially influenza A in our house. Can confirm. Cap mechanics prevent the Packers from contemplating a situation of trading Jordan Love and re-signing Malik Willis. Shout out to Ken Ingles on that part of it. But if LaFleur is given an extension and dead cap wasn't an issue, again, we play hypothetical games, right? You would seriously explore this, trading Love and resigning Willis with the big caveat, if LaFleur was still the head coach, the interpretation being, I might opine that Willis is a more of a LaFleur quarterback potentially, opens up his run first offense in different ways, but that's not the case. But I just want to explore the idea. LaFleur is given a 1 to 4 year extension this offseason. He shouldn't be, but let's say he is. And then you could trade Love. You can't. I just want to know what you guys would do if this was like, if you could just paint outside the lines. If LaFleur's given an extension and dead cap wasn't an issue, you would seriously explore the idea of trading Jordan Love and re-signing Malik Willis. Bart.
Well, Matt LaFleur and Malik Willis, I'm sure, could run a good offense together.
And do.
Yeah. And they're more than willing to do that any fucking where else. Other than Green Bay.
Okay.
I am in a group chat with some buddies and we were arguing about, he's like, Malik Willis is better. I go, no, he's not. He's like, well, he's good. He's playing well.
Definitely good.
He's good. He's not better than Jordan Love. He's not even close to being better than Jordan Love.
Let me just interject and just because I figured you were going to say what you said to some degree. How close is it in Matt LaFleur's offense? I'm not saying Love is not two notches above Malik Willis on the grand scheme of insert random quarterback into random offense. In Matt LaFleur's offense, how negligible is the difference in your opinion?
Well, it would seem like Matt LaFleur is able to bring out the best in Malik Willis.
Mm-hmm.
While he also limits what Jordan Love can do.
It's very bizarre, and I agree with you.
So he is good for the goose, but not the gander. That doesn't work, but I had it on the tip of my tongue.
Also, Grant is giving looks, so I'm curious.
I just don't understand how you're drawing that conclusion. I don't know how you can say Jordan Love's having an incredible year. Look at the offense. Look at the EPA per play and all the things. He's third in the MVP.
I don't even know what EPA is.
But also his coach is holding him back. I don't get that.
Let's indulge for a moment. Malik Willis This is the absolute – Matt LaFleur has brought out the absolute best version of Malik Willis possible. Mm-hmm or mm-mm.
I don't even think we've seen enough to, like, say that.
I think we've seen enough.
I have too. So
all Graham, he does is he calls a few design runs for him. And then guys are exactly as wide open as they are when Love's throwing the football.
Save over $200 when you book weekly stays with Vrbo. This winter, if you need to work, why not work from a chalet? If you haven't seen your college besties since, well, college, you need a week to fully catch up in a snowy cabin. And if you have to stay in a remote place with your in-laws, you should save over $200 a week. That's the least we can do. So, you might as well start digging out the long johns, because saving over $200 on a week-long snowcation rental is in the cards. Book now at Vrbo.com.
If you're the purchasing manager at a manufacturing plant, you know having a trusted partner makes all the difference. That's why, hands down, you count on Grainger for auto reordering. With on-time restocks, your team will have the cut-resistant gloves they need at the start of their shift. And you can end your day knowing they've got safety well in hand. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
So, Grant, then the part B is Matt LaFleur has brought out the best in Jordan Love. Mm-hmm. Or mm-mm. The best version.
I think so.
Really? Yeah. Okay. I guess I should.
I mean, how good do you think this guy is? Do you think he's like prime Tom Brady? How much better do you think Jordan Love would be with a different coach? I guess I'm just a little confused.
I don't know if what consensus is, but I think I've seen enough to say.
Here's what I'll. No, I got it.
Oh, the Cowboys game this year, the Steelers game this year. There are obviously examples where, like, uncapped Jordan Love is elite. Not good, not great, elite. Those games, you know, are why he's considered in the echelon of QBs that he is. But there's a lot of games, the Carolina game, the Cleveland game. Like, there have been several, too, where it's just like, yes, Matt LaFleur runs a run-first offense, and that's his deal. But it doesn't – I don't think that is – the Jordan Love that under a different offense, I don't know, but go ahead, Bart.
You could take your EPAs and stuff them in a sack, mister, because this is what people, and I'll do this once again. I mean, it is getting tough to always be this guy, to have to be this guy, but I will say and put into words what people are unable to say when they say Malik Willis is better than Jordan Love, for he is not.
What are they trying to say?
What they are watching, Paul, is they are watching Jordan Love, who, when he plays, it seems like something's holding him back. And we attribute that to Matt LaFleur.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems like something is, maybe he's being too cautious, or maybe he's not making the right decision. It seems like there are some restrictions on Jordan Love, whether that's the coach or that's in his own brain. When we've seen Malik Willis play, things seem more free. He's running around.
Yeah.
He's got the confidence that he can do this. Malik Willis seems loose, where Jordan Love plays tight.
Yeah.
And people are watching that and saying, I'd rather watch the loose way, for it will attribute to wins. And I'm saying, we haven't won yet with him this year. And then people are saying, well, you say Malik Willis cost us the game? No, but if you're going to simp for this guy, you know, we got to have some wins at least. Love plays in a way that seems tighter. Malik comes in and it's a little more loose. And so people think that Malik Willis is better than Jordan Love, but he is not.
I agree with that statement. I just don't know if under LaFleur specifically, how big the gap is. I would argue that LaFleur's potential, or Love's potential, excuse me, even though he's already was, at least pre-injury, a top three MVP caliber guy, like, how much more do you want, right? And I think, Grant, that's a fair point that you could make, as your eyes just showed us. But, like, Willis would be interesting with a full season. And the reason I wanted to come at it with this angle, right, because Ken Ingles rightfully is out there telling people, like, this isn't going to happen, and here's the math that explains why this isn't going to happen. Even if it was a great idea, and trading Love and signing Malik Willis was the best thing for, like, it still isn't going to happen because of the cap works of it. What I just wanted to explore is in a LaFleur offense, if LaFleur is extended, we'll get to that momentarily. You could get, if this was the NBA, you'd get a first round pick for Jordan Love. So do you rather have Jordan Love in the LaFleur offense where Malik Willis is now gone for a comp pick in the 2027 draft? Or do you want a first round pick in the 2026 draft because you traded Love to a team in the teens, let's say? You signed Malik Willis for 30 a year, 35 a year to be your starter. Grant's giving bug eyes. I think that's what he'll...
So
I think
Packer fans don't want Love at 55, but they'll take Malik at 30?
I think so.
But
I
for what? A cornerback that sucks? A guard that can't play? What are we doing with his money?
But again let's
I want Jordan Love to be the quarterback for the next 10 years.
I do too. And he's also
good enough too.
He's definitely good enough too.
And I don't know why Packer fans don't like him.
It is,
but they won't like him. And I think sometimes he does feel like he plays tight. And I think that is they don't like it. And I also think that Rodgers was so focused on not throwing interceptions that now Packer fans think interception is the worst thing that could possibly happen in this world. They happen. But Rodgers would not throw picks. He'd take sacks sometimes. And that's sure. Fine because he's not throwing a pick.
Yeah.
Well, now if Jordan Love takes a sack not to throw a pick, it's not fine because a sack's the worst thing in the world. Jordan Love gets none of the benefit of the doubt that any Packer quarterback has been given. You go back and watch Favre, like just pull up any Favre game and watch it now, and you're like, what is this motherfucking guy doing? Why? We just gave the ball away for no goddamn reason. We idled Favre and we worship Rodgers and we are so critical on Love, so overly critical on Love.
Yeah.
That a guy comes in and plays a good three quarters and we're ready to blow the whole thing up. And then, well, you paid him $55 million based on 9 games. All right. Well, if the contract was due now, you'd still pay him $55 million. You're not paying him.
Yes, correct.
He's the quarterback of the Green Bay Packers, and he's a good one. And to go from Favre to Rodgers to this, you should be counting your lucky stars.
Favre to Rodgers, Love to Willis. I mean,
Favre, Rodgers, Love, Willis.
I think Willis has looked awesome. I think he looks... I don't even know if he looks loose. I think he looks more dangerous in this offense because he can run and Jordan Love can't. And this team cannot run. Like, that's the only place they can get a rushing attack is from the quarterback. And Jordan Love can't do it. So that's a part of it. I think Malik Willis gives something specific to this Packers team that Jordan Love doesn't. I also am just of the belief, and you can disagree with me if you want on this, I'm also of the belief that if you gave Malik Willis 17 starts, he would not look like he's looked in all 17 of them. Like, I don't believe he's that player. And maybe he goes somewhere and he does that. I would not bet on that. I think he's had a couple really good appearances between the last 2 years.
Well, I think that partially goes to what I asked earlier, which was, is this max level Malik Willis? There's like, he you've seen his ceiling. And it's, hey, there's nothing wrong with that. Like, he's going to start somewhere next year, right? I just think it's interesting to NBA-ify the topic and think, okay, clean cap sheet again, which is not the case. It's not a clean cap sheet. Would you get rid of your point guard, your 28-year-old point guard, in exchange for your 26-year-old point guard at a difference of, a 50% discount if that younger, only by a couple years, but cheaper point guard is 70% of the player for only 50% of the cost. And in the meantime, you get a pick for the previous starting point guard, Love. Like, if you think about it like that pure like NBA form, and you don't have dead cap and all the other technicalities of an NFL spreadsheet that are a lot to digest, would you do it? Bart, your answer is still clearly regardless.
Irregardless.
Sure. Grant, do you have an answer to that? Like, if you had which is not the case, let's just overstate it. But if it was the NBA version of this, where you can get a first for Love and you can pay Willis 60% of what you were going to pay Love, are you doing that?
Mm-mm. No.
Okay. Okay.
No. I think Love's really good, and I think Willis has played really well. Like, I'm not going to look at anyone telling that Willis wasn't awesome on Saturday. We all think Malik Willis is good, and all of us were watching Saturday night cackling at the TV because even like there's not a Packers fan in the world that's like, he sucks. Like there's no one but we all agree on this thing that this guy's good. And we all sat back and watched on Saturday and we're laughing because like, what is this mother? How's this motherfucker doing this?
Yeah. I
would not expect him to be that player over a 17 game sample. And I think Love is really good.
I'm excited as an NFL viewer to find out next year. Again, it won't be necessarily in the same offense. I guess we'll find out where Malik Willis ends up. So Bart, I'm going to pivot to a related one here before you venture us off a different path. I'm going to name you four people in the Packers organization, and I'm going to say over under that 2.5 of those people are still with the Packers next year. Jordan Love, Malik Willis, Matt LaFleur, Brian Gutekunst. Those are four current people within the Packers organization.
We'll take Love out of there.
No. Just go with me for a minute.
Jordan Love.
Just play with the story, would you? More than 2.5 of
make
those
four. The other three guys in 1.5.
Whatever. However you want to think about it.
Why is Jordan Love in there?
For the fun of the conversation and the discourse, and so you can make some Zucker bucks.
Paul asks the questions here. All right. Let's respect the sanctity of how this works.
Listen, when you go viral on Facebook and you make $7 on this because you said Jordan Love as part of the question.
What do I need to go viral? Like, what's the number
of views to get money? I don't know. Grant, you've had some.
Like, what would you say? Your tweet went viral. Didn't you have 1.5 million the other day?
Grant did. I saw it.
They've had a couple. You need to do some pretty hardcore numbers to make money.
I know, but I had a tweet go like 500,000. That doesn't mean it's viral.
I think it is. I think when it's about Wisconsin sports, 500,000 views is viral.
Oh, everyone was shitting on my LaFleur. That's a great comparison to Ryan Day. Ryan Day got bailed out by the expanded playoffs.
I do want to talk about the seventh seed thing. And you can maybe even reference it in this question. Just go with it. Ready?
Under.
Love, Willis, LaFleur, Gutekunst. Over under 2.5 of those four people will be with the Packers next year. You would say it's over 2.5. Mm-hmm. Or mm-mm.
The Packers are going to lose in the first round and LaFleur will be fired.
Uh-huh.
He will have lost 5 games in a row. They are going to get de-fucking-stroyed this weekend, by the way. This Minnesota team can go 9-8. They want it.
Mm.
What are we even playing for?
A lot of Packers players after the game on Saturday said they have a lot to play for. Not that you would have known it watching, but they all said it.
I don't think a Packer should be interviewed the rest of the fucking season.
Not
especially LaFleur.
Not well media trained, you say?
This motherfucker comes out in these press conferences like, we got to do this. We got to do this. So fucking do it.
Why do you sound like a child? Why do you guys get bent out of shape about press conferences? There's so many reasons to shit all over. You are a pig in slop right now with so much good anti-Matt LaFleur ammo. And you're bending over a press conference. Like, bang him on the goods, the stuff that matters. Who cares
because
about a press conference?
Is not a dumb person. He is a smart guy.
I would agree.
But he can't translate that to being a good coach.
I mean, I think he's a good coach. That doesn't
but
mean
is he, Grant, job. Is he the three-word thing he needs to be? Is he an L-O-M? Is he? Is he a leader of men?
Because
it doesn't seem like he's a leader of men.
Is Jeff Hafley?
He is not a LOM.
Matt LaFleur's M's showed up on Saturday with a backup M. Jeff Hafley's unit took the night off. And I'm told that's a leader of men, Jeff Hafley. Listen to his press conferences. His defense has gone to shit since week 11 or 12.
LaFleur knows what to do. He doesn't have the belief to do it. he's a bad coach. He's a bad coach.
I think he's a good coach. I will answer. I think under 2.5.
Okay.
If that's what you're asking, which would mean Willis is gone, Goody or LaFleur is gone. My bet would at this moment in time be Love and Goody are back, and that is it. So I will go under. I think LaFleur is a good coach, and I feel for him because if he had a fully healthy team, I think they could have been the best team in football.
See, part of the here's this.
Hold on. Now that's the rub.
I have something to say on that too, but go ahead.
Matt LaFleur has seen a lot of injuries this year.
Mm-hmm.
Micah Parsons, Tucker Kraft, to name the big ones.
Mm-hmm.
So, am I supposed to sit here and say Matt LaFleur should be fired, but he had to deal with these injuries? Do injuries save your job necessarily? We are watching an organization in the Bucs that have had injuries in the postseason the last 4 years and still nuke the whole thing every year anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm curious to see what the Packers do when they factor that in. You know what? I am going to change my answer and say over.
Whoa.
Yeah.
So LaFleur is going to get the injury pass.
Matt LaFleur is going to get a 3-year extension along with Brian Gutekunst.
Mm.
And it will come the week after the Super Bowl.
So pretty quick then,
mm-hmm.
All things considered.
And Ed Policy is going to say, I've been in this building. These are two leaders of men right here. And these are two guys who I couldn't be prouder to be working with these guys.
I was going
to
say, what is it? You started with the accent, then you killed it right away. I was like, what is this?
Commit to the
like, if I learned one thing from my dad, it's that you don't change boats midstream. And we got two damn pretty good vessels right now. And it got dinged up a little bit. You know, we lost a little bit of the sail. We had some problems on the port side, which is left because it's both got 4 letters.
Mm.
And then the other one is what? Wait, don't tell me. Port, stern, bow, port.
Starboard.
I'm a starboard.
All right, so you've changed your answer.
Yeah.
I could see that happening. And if that happens, I'll be honest.
Because LaFleur got fired, guys. Cut. 1, 2, 3, hired.
3 seconds.
And also, Bart, I mean, if LaFleur's fired, who are you going to get to replace him?
Who are you even going to get?
Yeah.
Who are you going to get?
I will say, Paul, I want you to go on this. I could see that happening, Bart, and I wouldn't even be that mad. I'd be like, okay, I don't think there's a perfect choice. I don't think injuries should save his job because I think a lot of the bad losses this year and the signs that maybe you should move on are independent from injuries. Those losses to Cleveland, Chicago a couple weeks ago, that wasn't a loss because of injuries. That's a loss because your team couldn't make the 3 or 4 plays they needed to make. And that's been a thing going back to before the pandemic, if you can believe it. Like that's separate from this year. However,
how did the pandemic feel like it happened 20 years ago and also last week?
My point about the injuries is if I was Matt LaFleur, like I'd be pissed. I'd be like, God damn it. Like it would not sit well with me. If I guess put it this way, Matt LaFleur could get fired and I think it would be valid, but he would also be valid to think I really would have loved a shot with a healthy team.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Like, I guess that's why I bring up the injuries.
So a couple of things, and it's something you actually said going back several minutes ago, but it was early season dumb stuff that put the Packers in a position where it's like you had all your healthy horses.
Yeah. And that's a good point too.
You blew some games. Most notably, I mean, I think the 13-10 loss to the Browns is terrible. It's not on the offense that the Cowboys put up 40 in what became a tie. But I'm trying to remember exactly when Kraft got hurt, because the Panthers game that they beat Green Bay 16-13 was November 2nd. I think
the Carolina game.
that was the game he got hurt in, right? So it's like you had, I don't know. So the point is, it's like, if you say, like, Bart, to your point, if he ends up ending the season on a 5-game losing streak, LaFleur does, if that happens, that would be injury related for sure. I think even like though Devontae Wyatt doesn't merit the same level of Tucker Kraft or Grant gives a look as Tucker Kraft or Micah Parsons, Devontae Wyatt is not in that class. But I think if we were to list, you know, 2 months ago, the 10 most important Packers, we did a top 5 not that long ago. I think Wyatt's on that top 10 list.
You know who's on the bottom 10 is fucking Rashawn Gary.
Well, Grant, you can take a victory lap on that at some point if you want. That you would earn that. So here's what I would remind people. I think part of the discourse that I see about LaFleur, and Bart, you're typically part of it somehow because people are always responding to you in regard to it. We people say, or even people, you know, the built-in backstory when someone says you're gonna fire LaFleur. You don't know ball if you're going to fire LaFleur. The emphasis I want to put on all of it is you're not, it's not the difference between firing a guy with 4 years on a contract or resign. Like, you know, like this is, they are, the Packers are potentially 2 games away, 2 weeks away from a point at which you have to go into the lame duck season or you are extending him. I know we've said this. I think Bart, your audience knows this, but it bears repeating. When you're firing Matt LaFleur,
Bears still suck.
When you go into that situation of the offseason of a lame duck, which we know Ed Policy isn't going to do, you're not choosing between firing him and keeping him. You're choosing between firing him or extending him. I think that distinction is really important. You're not deciding between firing and keeping him. You're deciding between firing him and extending him. Even the biggest LaFleur backers want, do you, hey, someone's listening and likes Matt LaFleur. Someone likely might be love Matt LaFleur.
I like Matt LaFleur.
I know you do, but you don't, like, but let me ask you then, even though I don't think you're as hardcore as some, not even close, but like, you're ready to extend Matt LaFleur? Like, let's say the season peters out like it seemed it's going to. In that scenario, and we've not seen, even if they do lose those games, do they look good doing it? I don't know if that's even a moral victory that anyone would care about, but like, if it was right now and you had to make a decision to fire LaFleur or extend LaFleur, again, keeping him is not an option.
You know what's
going to happen? Keeping Matt LaFleur is not an option. You're extending him or you're firing him. Go.
We've often wondered at the different points of the season, what is it going to take for Matt LaFleur to keep his job? And the answer has been Super Bowl or NFC Championship.
Mm-hmm.
I think if they win one game, he's staying.
I kind of do too.
One playoff game. You because go to Chicago and you beat the Bears,
you're safe.
You're safe.
Yep. Especially with, because of the injuries.
And that's, you know, that's going to be fine.
Like, I think if their 2025 season playoffs is similar to 2023, right? You go on the road to Dallas, upset, win. And then even if you should have won the next game, a la 2 years ago, but don't. I still think that with no Parsons, with no Kraft, all the other things happening on the team, I do think he'll, the Bears victory and then the competitive second round game.
If he can get him, if he can get him into Chicago and win that game,
he's fine. He's cool.
I don't want LaFleur to be fired.
I don't think Ed Policy does. I think Ed Policy would love to extend both. I think that was probably his hope coming into this year. Right? I think that would be a safe.
I think we thought at the time it was like partially at the very least like a motivational tactic of like, yeah, I mean, I don't do lame duck seasons, but also I'm not extending you now. Wink, wink. Go have a great season.
What if Ed Policy had just kept this shit to himself or no one asked him about it? Like, are we doing this LaFleur check-in every couple of weeks?
No,
you think we're doing this?
I still think we would bring it up. We'd say, well, he's going to be a lame duck.
But I think knowing that his – so I didn't mean to walk into this. Knowing that his policy is what it is.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Sorry. Didn't even mean to, but I was trapped. And the only word I could come up with was policy. I think knowing that that's his official stance. Thank you. That was a synonym.
How are you someone whose name is Policy and you get into Policy?
It's a South Park character. That's when I first learned of this guy. That was my first thought. Well, Mr. Ed Policy running the fucking team.
Jesus. So, knowing that's his stance, that he's on the record that that's his stance, his policy, I think did frame this in a different way, to your point.
Who's the brewer that was, what was his name? Grant Balfour.
You gave us no context.
Yeah, but how do you pitch when your name is Balfour? You fucking be a hitter if you want to play baseball.
And speaking of
Balfour.
Speaking of interesting last names, Bart, in Home Alone, the guy who, one of the two people at the police station, the Chicago Police Department, that Kevin McAllister's parents call, he says, "This is Balzac. How can I help you?" Were they just trying to be like, were they just, the guy's last name is Captain Balzac? Balzac? Probably. They're just like who's going to catch this in 1991? Is anyone going to be like, hey, did you notice that in Home Alone, the guy's last name was Balzac?
Can I ask you guys a question?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think that, nah, this is too vain.
I have no idea where this.
It's probably going to.
I think that I have said a lot of the Packer conversation this season.
Mm. I have, maybe you're just in my algorithm.
I think a lot of things can be attributed to me.
You know what I don't understand is I'm on the air for 2 hours every day by myself. And I feel like most days I come in, take some calls, some Packers takes, and then I go home. And for the most part, it's done. You tweet one thing and you're fucking in the trenches over it for a week. Like, I don't understand how you operate. Like, people just go nuts after
people, and that's what I'm trying to figure out. Do they not like the message or do they not like the messenger?
Both.
Yeah.
I liked your tweet the other day when you're like, people don't like me. And the guy's like, people don't know you. And your response was, they don't like what I represent or some shit. Like,
you just and then they shit, then they go, they don't know you enough to know what you represent. I go, they hate that too.
Yeah.
That's funny.
It is funny. I also do think, Bart, if people don't know you well, it would be very easy to assume or interpret that you're clickbaiting or you're rage baiting.
I come off clickbaity, even though I am not.
No, I know. But I think that's why when you have your audience that knows you, they know, like Grant and I know, that that's not what you're doing. But the message.
Putting up these reels, I mean, that's completely changed the game.
It's changed the game.
People see it.
Here's my last related question on this.
It's all people watch. Mm-hmm. We've still got many soldiers that watch this every week, and I love it. I love you guys. The podcast doesn't happen if you guys aren't 35 minutes into us, fucking around. But the main way that people consume content is reels, and that's why I focus on them a lot.
Here's my last related question on this.
I watch like all of Young Sheldon on reels. And I don't even like
the edits are awesome.
I don't even like Big Bang Theory.
You don't not like Big Bang
Theory. But I'm watching Meemaw lay it down at the fucking backstop, whatever she had going on in the back of that washer dryer gambling center. I'm like, I couldn't get enough of Annie Potts.
Oh, is Annie Potts?
And then I'm looking up pictures of her as a 20-year-old. Okay. Well, I want to see what she looked like growing up. Not that growing up.
All right. The Tim 36.
I like my ideal age for a woman is 25. Like the 25% off you can get at happyplacehemp.com. Happyplacehemp.com, promo code BART for 25% off each and every order. It looks like I'm pretty happy placed up right now, but I am not, doesn't it? Jesus Christ. Has anybody lost their luggage? That's the bags are under my eyes. 25% off the tinctures, gummies, seltzers, and more. Digging the seltzers, as you know, and the gummies. And sometimes I'll have a gummy and a seltzer. I was going to think of a fun name for that, but I couldn't. Oh, I call it a raindrop. 25% off each and every order at happyplacehemp.com. Promo code is BART. Look at this, though. What's going on there? Paul's just got one eye. Oh, there he is.
The holidays mean more travel, more shopping, more time online, and more personal info in more places that could expose you more to identity theft.
But LifeLock monitors millions of data points per second. If your identity is stolen, our U.S.-based restoration specialists will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Don't face drained accounts, fraudulent loans, or financial losses alone. Get more holiday fun and less holiday worry with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/special offer. Terms apply.
If you're an HVAC technician and a call comes in, Grainger knows that you need a partner that helps you find the right product, fast and hassle-free. And you know that when the first problem of the day is a clanking blower motor, there's no need to break a sweat. With Grainger's easy-to-use website and product details, you're confident you'll soon have everything humming right along. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All right.
Can I tell you something else?
Sure.
I think Avengers Doomsday is going to be fucking terrible. Ugh.
Our household disagrees, at least two of us.
I'm worried about it.
We're stoked for some Doctor Doom.
Also, Stranger Things. What the fuck?
I'm not caught up yet.
Stranger Things season 5 is like someone is secondhand telling you Stranger Things season 5.
It's all Christmas Day was on Netflix. It was just one big infomercial for that show. I've never seen a minute of it.
Yeah, they had all those 11s at the Ravens game.
I did see that clip before it went viral. It's a callback.
Yeah, to earlier in the show. Callback is when you refer to something earlier in the show. Paul worked in TV. Not everybody watching or listening worked in TV.
Thank you for the explanation.
Yeah.
So wait, is it bad, season 5, or are you just saying the discourse is whatever?
Season 5, I was in... Volume 1 came out on Thanksgiving, and I'm like, okay. And then Volume 2 was a letdown.
Is it done, or so there's something left?
And then there's the finale on New Year's Day.
Okay.
But there, it just feels like they forgot a lot of what they've established.
So were you a Game of Thrones guy?
Sounds just like Thrones, yeah.
Yeah, no, I wasn't, and I won't be.
I mean, it was really as if, like, you know, a different writing team, yeah. A different showrunner. It was, you know, maybe the actors and the people who worked on it tried to convince themselves at the time or since that, like, actually, I think the people were too hard. Like, no, they weren't too hard on you. Like, it was as if someone who didn't know the universe, it would be like back in the day, like Raw would bring in a new writer or SmackDown would bring in a new writer, you know, years and years ago. And then it would be like, oh, like, I don't think they know about the product.
And all of a sudden, like, CM Punk and Rollins are tag teaming together and shit. Well,
and then you'd find out, like, some of these folks would do interviews, you know, post WWE writing career, and they'd be like, oh, yeah, I actually didn't watch anything prior to getting hired. It's like, okay, we were right.
Anyway, sorry for the tangent.
I want to give you an analogy that you're either going to resonate with or you're going to disagree with, but to me, it made a lot of sense. We talked a lot about Brewers bites at the apple. No, this is not a Brewers topic. The Packers have made this new, imaginary, didn't exist that long ago, 7th seed. Hold on. And we're talking about the possibility that the Packers bring back Matt LaFleur and keep the status quo, right? Like, we, you know, whether you say over under on the 2.5, you know, if it's LaFleur's brought back and Gutekunst is brought back, and of course, Love. If the Packers keep the status quo, I'm going to argue, and I'm going to say, do you, like, that whether or not you agree with it, if the Packers bring back LaFleur without some magical playoff run forthcoming, the Packers are a worse version of the bites at the apple Brewers. I'm going to go first and say, in that scenario, regardless of your opinion, person listening's opinion of the 7th seed thing and Bart going on his tangents and having his online fights about the 7th seed and people disagree with it, that seed...
He's agenda setting. He's not fighting, Paul.
He's agenda setting. He's setting his own narrative and he's sticking to it. But I'm going to...
You're really going to miss me when I'm gone.
But I want to be clear that, like, if you... And, you know, we can put the asterisk with the injuries. I'll remind people again, you're either firing Gutekunst or you're extending him. You're either firing LaFleur or you're extending him. Those are your choices, perhaps as soon as 2 weeks from now. I'm going to argue defiantly, that this would be far more bites at the apple-y, because you're saying, no, like, the progress has been steady. It's been good. Like, they keep making the playoffs. Like, sure, they're the seventh seed, but, like, there's been circumstances as to why. Excuse, excuse, excuse. If this is enough to get a GM and a head coach both extended, if this recent run in Titletown is enough to get the two most prominent people in the organization extended, not kept, extended, that is as bites at the apple as bites at the apple can bites at the apple. So I'm going to say, mm-hmm. Oh, thanks, Grant.
I think there might be a little more variance in the NFL, though.
Than Major League Baseball? I strongly disagree.
There's variance in baseball for every team that's not our team. And when we're discussing this, we do have to keep that fact in mind.
Yeah, I think that is actually fair. The Brewers somehow just are the Brewers, and every other team's like, the Diamondbacks, they win, and then they're terrible. And like, the Rangers, they were the World Series, and now they're bad. But I think that would be extremely, again, short of going into Chicago and winning, okay, I think extending, I can't emphasize that enough, that there's a decision to be made. Keeping both under their current contract is not an option. I think to re-sign both pending some Chicago playoff win, to me, is nuts. Nuts. Because it's accepting the status quo, and it's accepting, well, in 2023, there were these circumstances. Well, in 2024, there were these other circumstances. Oh, yeah, in 2025, there were some circumstances. To me, it's too many of those consecutively.
But if we were doing that with the Bucks, we'd still have Bud.
Extend those guys.
We'd still have Bud if we were doing that with the Bucks.
You could. And I think the Bucks have kept the status quo for too long. And I think it's part of the reason where they are now, because they've kept to the status quo too much. But I think, Bart, for as hard as you were on the...
Did Adrian Griffin go back to his home planet, like Poochie, or where the fuck is this guy?
He's still getting paid.
Good for him.
For as much as I think you raid on the Brewers for bites at the apple, I just think of this very near-term scenario where everyone's brought back, extended, not just brought back, extended and brought back. Accepting that level of being okay as an NFL team for this franchise, I think would be really telling, and I think would be really negative. So, for me, what do you guys think?
I think a lot of people are. I don't think this is a team that, or maybe a fan base, maybe a team. I don't think they value the Super Bowl as much as I thought they did.
See, but the difference, I would say, like with the Brewers, where it's like,
you like that one?
No one has seen a Brewers World Series win. Some three of us and many people listening haven't even seen them in the World Series. So it's like, I kind of actually understand, you know, and baseball to me having higher variance than the NFL, or it should. I understand the strategy with the Brewers and what they're doing, especially if you're going to continue having a top farm system. The Packers, it's not like that. Like, even if we know the person who gets excused in all of this, like we've said the name Gutekunst far less than we've said LaFleur, far less than we've said Love, short of 2022 and like the Jordan Love pick, like a couple other stragglers here and there, like, are we sure that this is someone who doesn't deserve an extension?
Well,
I just would not like the status quo-ness of both guys extended. That would really, again, pending a playoff run. This is all with the giant asterisk of pending a playoff run.
I think I had a guy say, oh, man, you wouldn't have survived the 70s and 80s.
It's a common go-to.
It's like,
yeah, we would have.
That's over. Using that as a backdrop for 2025's issues and conversations is useless.
There's no one involved with the Packers organization of any level of prominence who was alive for that.
Also, they've been consistently one of the top teams in the NFL for 33 years.
Those are some big bites at a giant apple, isn't it?
And they got two apples.
They did.
I also think there's a weird, like, 2010 was 16 years ago. People act like it was last weekend.
It is very strange.
And don't watch that Super Bowl. Rodgers looks like a baby.
Again, the status quo of this, too, totally different regime. But McCarthy was kept far too long so that we could enable the status quo to continue. Oh, next year it'll be fine. Oh, next year it'll be fine. I mean, I covered those teams. It was not fine. It was not going to magically whatever. Like, they should have gotten out 2 to 3 years before they got out of McCarthy.
There were circumstances, though, like Jordy getting hurt. Like, there's some common threads through there.
That's perfectly fine. And I hope that Ed Policy has enough of a insight that the three of us not being the building every day.
He's got to go. He got his chance. It's time to go.
I think the fact that they're the 7 seed 3 years in a row tells it. First of all, I don't think being a wild card here and there is like the worst thing in the world.
Sometimes Well, they got a good record, or they would have played different. They didn't try that last game. They could have been the 6 seed. The point is, they're getting the benefit of an expanded playoff. They're not winning divisions. They're not playing at home, which doesn't fucking matter anymore anyway. But they're not playing at home. I don't get why any fucking team in this state would spend any fucking money on PR branding or any of that. Because you've got an army of people willing to carry your water for anything.
Carrier G.
Yeah, and they criticism is bad. Having this conversation, what are you guys overreacting for? They got nine. The goalpost moving.
Mm-hmm.
It's terrible.
You're a lesser fan.
To me, which you just ignore these people. It's the fact that they haven't won the division since Aaron Rodgers second to last year. That's damning. When your division is competitive, there's going to be somewhere where you don't win it. You know what I mean? You have injuries. And you have a harder schedule than a team beneath you the year before, and they win an extra game or two, and you're a wild card. And that doesn't damn you. But to me, like, which teams win divisions? It's teams that consistently perform at a high level from the start to the end of the year, and they don't start slow, and they don't fade away in December, and they don't piss away 3 or 4 wins a year that they should have had. And that's the type of stuff, like, that's this team, right? They faded in December the last 2 years. They lose 3 or 4 games a season they shouldn't lose. And to me, the fact that they're the 7 seed and not a division champ, like, that's representative of the issues with this team, right? Yeah. Like, you get what I'm saying?
Great, great point. And actually, it made me quick look this up just to confirm. Every team has now won the NFC North since the Packers have last won it.
Yeah.
I think that's interesting. So in the past 4 years, now that the Bears have won it this year.
It's interesting. The best thing since wrestling and festing in your kids' ears and nestling.
Great reference and lyric call out. So the fact that it's been since the Packers won the division in 2021, Vikings, Lions, Bears. So you've got this competitive group set, and that's fine. And, like, it is a good division. Like, yeah, if they're in the AFC South, they'd clean up. Like, great. But the division is evolving, and everyone has now won it since the Packers have. I don't think that's nothing.
And can I just say, really, like, this is what I'm...
Can I say, you're going to extend? I know I'm just being over. Like, you're going to extend the two decision-makers. That, on a team that can't win the division since every other team in the division has won the division? I don't know.
It's okay because his record during the first 3 years of Rodgers was 39-12 or whatever the fuck.
You're hung up on the extension when you should be. It's the same as Jordan Love. It's like, well, but you paid him 55. Yeah, because you had to. And if you want Matt LaFleur to stay, you got to extend him. That's how it works.
But the difference is if Willis and Love were both free agents this offseason or both lame duck quarterbacks next season, then that's an apples to apples comparison. This, if I may borrow it, Bart, is apples to wrenches.
Thank you.
Because you can't make the Love Willis decision now because you've already made the Love decision. So the Willis decision is impacted because you've made the Love decision. You have a perfectly aligned GM and head coach situation in which Policy has, whether intentionally along with Mark Murphy or otherwise, had them get in a situation like, okay, we have to make a decision on you. And neither decision has been made. So I mean, tell me if I'm missing something there, Grant, on your comparison, but
You're fine. I don't see a functional difference. If Matt LaFleur had 2 years left on his deal or 1 year left,
it's a huge difference.
I don't think it is. Like, whether they're deciding to fire him this offseason with 2 years left or 1 year left, like, you're deciding whether you want him to continue to be the coach. That's this conversation.
No.
This, when we can disagree on this, this is not, I can't imagine this is of interest to anyone. Like, we're arguing, we're literally arguing about semantics. I don't think this matters.
That's actually my favorite thing.
Which maybe.
I love that.
Surprise me. Okay.
Well, they could extend him and still fire him.
Yeah.
Just because you give a guy a 3-year extension doesn't mean he's going to finish it out.
Well, I mean, again, unless he is, you know, an NBA coach, like where they're going to be fired with $50 million left on their contract, a la Budenholzer in Phoenix recently, like Stan Van Gundy in New Orleans. And like,
when was the last time an NBA coach wasn't fired with like 50 or 60 million left? These guys coach for 2 years and then they're just.
Doc is somehow going to outlive his contract and then coach for free afterwards.
Maybe. Look, one more thing on the division, because it's been sticking in my craw. Mm-hmm. I led my show with this on Friday before the Ravens game. It's kind of pathetic that this team didn't win the division this year. And I know they have injuries, and we're talking about the coach, and we're talking about Malik Willis, and there's all these shiny moving, at the heart of this team, at the root of this season we just watched, it's pathetic they didn't win this division.
Yeah, fuck them.
Okay.
I'm with you.
I mean... Yeah. How many opportunities did they have? They'd still be alive this week had they just beaten the Ravens at home. Like, they'd still, it would feel like a long shot, but they could still be alive for the division. Yeah. This division was so winnable for them, and they just wouldn't.
But I can't say that, because then people, you can't say it.
I know the Bears took a big step up, and while Grant takes his Rashawn Gary victory lap, I'm going to take my Ben Johnson victory lap. We'll take those simultaneously, those victory laps.
No, they're going to do what we did. They're going to have a good postseason. And then they're going to revert next year where they, like, lose the first game.
Rashawn Gary's going to have a good postseason?
No, the Bears.
Oh.
I still think that if Jordan Love's first year was his second year and we get to the divisional round, the whole thing. But they did this and then went back and now.
Maybe.
Bart, one other thing. I wanted to mention this to you in this forum rather than in text, because I know you read about the
polite Paul.
I'm a big fan of this forum.
The AEW pay-per-view, the wrestling pay-per-view over the weekend, happened to be at the same time as the Packers game. Okay. And I'm going to tell you this, because I know you may have read about the AEW pay-per-view, but didn't watch it. Guess what happened during said pay-per-view, which took place in Chicago. Every time the Packers allowed a touchdown while there was wrestling going on.
Green Bay sucks.
Yes.
So you knew what was happening.
Yeah. They're Bears fans. Cool. Yeah. At a wrestling pay-per-view. Cool. It's not go Bears, go Bears. It was Green Bay sucks chants loudly. And then when the game, and then
I don't get it.
And then during the main event, when the score went final of Packers Ravens, it was like thunderous with not like, yay.
They won the division. So that at least.
But you're not celebrating. But are you? That's what I don't understand. And I know you're much more like focused on like fan behavior than I am. And I don't actually care that much. But I find it interesting that there's not like a, you know, like honestly, people debate like the, you know, flying the L flag if you're the Brewers or whatever else. But like when the Cubs win a game, they play their We Won the Game song. The Bears mantra from the fan base isn't like a Bears thing, like flying a W.
Oh, when we beat the Bears, we do Bears still suck.
I only hear that song at weddings. I've actually never been to a game where I've heard that.
I guess I can't.
100 weddings in Wisconsin. I've heard it at least fucking half of them. Have you, Jim?
I guess I just don't understand the mentality that the way to cheer your team is by saying this other team who's unrelated to us in the circumstance of what just happened.
Well, but they were going to win the NFC North.
Yeah. Anyway,
I don't understand how the L flag is the worst thing you could ever do. And the cheese grater is correct. Clever.
They're the same thing. And I'm fine with both. I just, you know, people should be consistent.
It's like doing horns down.
Yeah.
You do horns up. We're going to do horns down.
Mm-hmm.
You fly a W, we're going to fly an L when you lose.
Yeah.
Oh, Brewers L. Oh, my God. The problem with fighting against Chicago fans is there's so many of them. not only are there so many of them, think of a fan base. Think of a fan base. There's 10 good people, 10 really stupid, and 80 in the middle. So the Chicago numbers are larger. So you're fighting more. They're sending the worst of the worst on the front lines. Anyway, all right.
Like the Russians in World War II.
Last one, super quick, because you guys are usually very good at this, and I like your input on it. The Packers-Bears playoff game, assuming that, let's say that that's the matchup, which window, which day?
God, I hope not Saturday night. I feel like that'll be Fox 3 o'clock.
Real? Oh, okay, I would have guessed the Saturday or Sunday night before I would have said
the Well, what are night. The other matchups?
Well, I don't want to – I think Packers-Bears will be one of the two most prominent – If not, like, it's not going to be superseded by two.
Keep in mind, Prime Video gets a game possibly Sunday at noon.
It won't be that one.
How shitty is that?
It will not.
Mike Clemens, I don't pay to watch football. That's what advertisers are for.
It won't be that game.
Oh, that'll be at NFC South winner.
Yes. Yeah.
Poor
Elmo. I think, regardless of the matchups, Packers Bears will be one of the two most prominent matchups, if not like the clear cut number one. And I don't think that's Midwest bias. Like, people are going
right.
They're going to want.
If there was, I mean, they've been shoehorning shit Packers Bears games into primetime for 20 years. The 1 year since, well, the second time in 30 years, they're actually both good at the same time. It better be on Sunday at 3 o'clock.
I can't do another fucking Saturday night game, man.
So wait, are you betting Saturday? Like, if you got a, you know,
million, I actually don't mind Saturday night.
$1 million if you're right, nothing if you're wrong, Bart. When's the Packers Bears playoff game? If that's what it is,
Sunday at 3.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Grant.
Sunday what?
At 3.
Or there could be a, yeah, they want, really? Fox wants it, yeah.
Yeah.
How does the draft work? How does that work? I used to know the answer to this, and I don't know the current, like.
You worked in television, PI. You tell us.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I could have told you 15 years ago. But now that since they've added all these, you know, again, Bart mentions Amazon Prime as an option. It used to be like, you know, Fox and CBS battle their NFC versus AFC stuff, and then you get the Sunday night game on NBC, but it's not.
Chicago's the biggest market in the NFC. Wouldn't they be the biggest draw, one would assume?
So are you saying that the 3 o'clock window is the biggest window, or are you just saying because Fox would own that?
No, well, it's Fox, but also the biggest window. Yeah, I think it's the biggest window of the weekend, Sunday at 3.
Yeah, Sunday at 3.
Okay, I hope you're right.
I'll fill out the whole weekend. Once we get the slate, we should do this next. Well, yeah. We'll know by next week, but.
Do it. Well, Bart, maybe you could do it like.
Yeah, I'll totally do it on my postgame pod.
Yeah, you should. I actually, maybe, is that interesting to people? I love that. I mean, especially Bart, you going through your TV guides and being the TV guide guy that you are, like predicting matchup times and days and how the networks fight over it is. Yeah. Interesting. Especially because, like, look how much the Sunday Night Football crew valued getting this Rodgers Ravens game and the possibility of it being Rodgers last. Like, they wanted that. Like, that was more valuable, even though it's two like average teams.
Last thing. Are you rooting for the Steelers on Sunday night?
Mm-hmm.
Me too.
Nice.
Yeah. I'm back in on Rodgers, him and his fake wife. What a crazy guy.
I'm just out.
Immunized. On the fucking hilarious. I'm in.
I'm just out on the Ravens. You don't interest me.
Boys. Thank you for stopping into the Winklerverse.
If you're the purchasing manager at a manufacturing plant, you know having a trusted partner makes all the difference. That's why, hands down, you count on Grainger for auto reordering. With on-time restocks, your team will have the cut-resistant gloves they need at the start of their shift. And you can end your day knowing they've got safety well in hand. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.